The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome back to another edition of the Computer Corner. We're here to talk technology with you, as we are every Saturday afternoon. I am Ken Colburn,
the Data Doctor,
the original Data Doctor, along with all of my cohorts, partners in crime. And Robert, I guess you're not going to be able to talk today.
That's testing.
Oh, there it goes. It's on. The light's
testing.
Not on.
Testing.
Robert, the D-Man D'Arizio, and Clayton Moline.
Always glad to be here, Ken.
Director of our forensics labs and data recovery end of the business. And, of course, you brought a very special assistant today, did you not?
Yes, I did.
And would you like to introduce him?
I brought my son, Ramses. Would he like to say hi?
Hi.
Say, you got to wave to all the people when you say hi. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's radio. Don't let me do that to you. Right? So, again, if you're new to the show, thank you for joining us. If you're old to the show, thanks for joining us again. If you're somewhere in between, we thank you as well. We spend the next couple of hours talking about technology. What do we talk about? Well, we bring a little bit to the table with some topical things, which, boy, what a good week to be a geek this week, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah.
A lot going on here, but the big thing here is to try to help you with whatever it is that's ailing you. So here are all the different ways that you can interact with us. If you are an old school rusty wire type, you can call us on the phone line 602-277-5827. Ask whatever question you'd like and we'll see if we can't come up with an answer.
Usually pretty good at doing that.
If we don't take your call on the air, it's probably because it's so specific that it probably won't help anybody listening, so don't take that personally. But we'll try our best to help you off the air between the breaks if it's not so much a helpful for those that are listening. The premise of the show is that you learn from others' pain. So we try to find pain points that we can share with you on the air so that you can hear that going, I almost did that. Or, I was thinking about doing that. Now I'm not going to. Or, I'm going to do that so that doesn't happen to me. That's what we're hoping to get somewhere like one or two times in the next 2 hours. So, you know, our benchmark for a good show is really low.
I wouldn't say that.
Ancient Hawaiian proverb, an arrow aimed at the ground never misses.
Unless it's very windy.
No, it'll still hit the ground.
That's true.
Keep those goals nice and low and you'll always hit them. So 602-277-5827. If you are a creature of the internet, which obviously most of us are these days, we've moved from the one-to-one communication style of email to the one-to-one-to-many communication style of Facebook. Facebook.com/DataDoctors is where you can join us while we're on the air. Actually, around the clock, around the week, you can interact with us. But that's where we would like you to post your questions, should you have them, so that we can answer them for you and others that visit the Facebook page. We're at 2,300 and growing. Can also benefit from the conversation. So check that out. Today's theme, you can get to it at datadoctors.com/radio. And in fact, everything you need to know about how to communicate with us, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, the podcasts, the phone number, all of that, datadoctors.com/radio, including today's theme. We're going to focus today on this smartphone war that's heating up pretty rapidly, wouldn't you say, Clayton?
Yeah, I agree with that, especially with some of the issues that have been identified with the iPhone 4.
And Clayton's actually on the front line of this war on the Apple camp because he's one of the early adopters of the iPhone 4.
Yes, I am.
So anybody that's been thinking about it that wants to ask a question about, you know, is it more gooder?
As we say here, yeah.
Yes. Clayton's here for that. Later on in the show, we're going to have Jennifer Weaver. I don't know if it's Jennifer or Jenny from the block.
One or the other, right?
From Verizon to come in and talk about the upcoming release of the Droid X, which is being hailed as a definite contender. We need that
bell sound. I'll try to find an app for that.
And then kind of out there in the third corner of the boxing match is the HTC Evo, which is the first 4G handset, was just released a couple weeks ago for those folks that are on the Sprint network. So it's the first super high speed, nay, mega high speed handset.
For that 1% of the country that actually has 4G access.
Yeah, right? There is. Actually, it's their WiMAX network.
I think that's true.
So we're going to talk about all those things. We know that the smartphone arena, this mobile computing revolution that's going on, is just blowing up. And those of you that haven't thought about it, you're probably starting to think about it. And those of you that have already been, I think I'm trying to think here, Samsung, this has got to be my eighth or ninth handset that is considered quote-unquote smartphone because it does more than just make phone calls and text message.
I can remember the days when the color screen was, amazing.
Big time.
Yeah, that was huge. That was just out of control.
Or the voice dial, when you just say call home and it would just call. That was cool.
That was pretty revolutionary.
That's why they call them smart.
Yeah. So that's the point of today's discussion. But, of course, you can call in about anything that's going on in your life from a technology standpoint, 602-277-5827. And throughout the show, we'll try to throw some questions up there that we're seeing on the Facebook page for those of you driving around. The good news is if you miss any part of the show, we'll get this all munched up and edited and set up as a podcast. So you can actually subscribe to our podcast through iTunes if you know how that works. And if you don't, just go to our website every week, datadoctors.com/radio. And you'll see after the show that we post up the podcast. You can listen to it on demand over and over again.
As many times as you want.
Especially since we're going to get the sweet voice of Ramses on multiple times today, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's shaking his head yes.
Okay, that's rule number two, Ramses. The shaking the head thing, because we're not on television, they can't hear your head rattle. So you just go, you can just say yo or something. You can bring some hipness and coolness to the show.
Bring some hipness, Ramsey. For the ladies in the back, yeah?
No.
Okay, so just, and of course, we're going to get into specific details of the iPhone 4, I'd say pretty major faux pas.
Faux pas would probably wrap it up.
With our apologies to our French brethren there, but it's a big goof, and it's pretty amazing actually that a product would come from Apple with all the successes they've had, and to have something like this happen. I'm still just really. I mean, how?
Well, I mean, some of it has to do with the FCC testing, and during that testing, there's no actual hand holding the handset, and there's also a push to put the antenna towards the bottom of the phone.
That's basically meaning that nobody ever actually field tested this thing anywhere along the line.
And that's what kind of blows my mind.
But it ended up in a bar. I thought.
Well, I mean, there had to be some type of field test, and I'm sure there were quite a few, but maybe they had.
Maybe it was because
different types of hands.
No one had reception to begin with.
Or maybe everybody that field tests iPhones holds them very daintily with two fingers.
And you literally have to in order to make those calls now.
The reality is they probably, because they, just like with the test cars, they put them in under wrap.
Right.
They probably had them in a case the whole time, which is probably why they never detected this. They were trying to hide the fact that they had this prototype phone or what have you. So anyway, we're going to get into that. And when we come back, we're going to tell you why Steve Jobs says, "You're holding it wrong." It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. Rocking our way through another Saturday afternoon. It's the Data Doctors here in the Computer Corner. Having a good time on a Saturday afternoon. A very mildly warm Saturday afternoon here in the Great Southwest. Yeah, hope you're nice and toasty and comfy. And
about 107, 108 today, I think.
But it's a dry heat. And you know what?
So is a bonfire.
So is a pizza oven. But you know what? Those folks listening that have the 90-90 summers, you can have that. I'll take the 110-10s.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about smartphones. We've had three pretty major announcements and or launches of product in the last couple of weeks. Started with Sprint having the HTC Evo 4G handset. By all accounts, a monstrosity of a handset, pretty large, big screen on it, concerns about battery life, If you are one of those that actually picked one of those babies up, we want to hear from you. 602-277-5827. If you can't call in, then post your comments, your dislikes, dislikes, pros and cons, whatever you can tell us about that HTC Evo 4G. Yeah, I don't know that Phoenix even has any 4G pattern yet.
You know, I've played around quite a bit with the HTC phone, and I have to say that it's a decent phone. I haven't had a chance to play with the 4G version of it, but, you know, still.
So that was first. Second was the launch of the iPhone 4, which, if you've seen the iPhone 3GS, we'll give you some specifications, some of the differences, so that you understand how dramatically different this new handset is. One of the ones that just kind of blew me away was the screen resolution.
Oh yeah, it's incredible, and that and the fact that you have 512 megs of RAM, which is double than what the iPad even has, I believe.
RAM.
Yeah, that's what makes things go faster.
Ram-a-lama ding dong.
Yeah.
But the screen resolution on the 3GS is what, 320 by 240?
I can't confirm that, but it's significantly. Yeah, and I think it's like, about half of what the 4.
Well, now it's like 960 by 480 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really high. It's the highest resolution.
They call it the Retina
display.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so sharp, you got to be careful it doesn't cut your eye. And then on the 15th of July, we're supposed to see the release of the Droid X, which is a very meaningful contender, as is the Evo 4G, to the iPhone. But everything I've seen from all the folks that have been lucky enough to get their hands on both an iPhone 4 and compare it side by side to the Droid X, there's several areas where the iPhone still excels. And we'll kind of go through that throughout the day. 602-277-5827 if you want to chime in on any of those phone handsets. Obviously, unless you're a reviewer, you might not have. In fact, we're going to see if we can get on the list here now that we're going to have Jenny on later on. So
yeah.
You know, it's funny. It's taken this long, though, for anyone to catch up. I mean, iPhone was 3 years ago. I mean, you remember 3 years ago, this was the phone to get. Nothing was close. It's pretty cool.
But there is a pretty substantial difference between, you know, the 3GS and the iPhone 4 in that not only, you know, are you supporting the iOS 4 platform, which, of course, the 3GS supports as well, but, you know, coming from a 3GS and moving to the iPhone 4, there's a substantial increase in the speed, not only in taking pictures, but also with video and just all the other processes, the multitasking. It really accentuates.
I was watching you play around with the iOS 4.
Okay, so that's all well and good. But let's talk about this reception issue. And by the way, we have on our website, I took some video yesterday to show you exactly how this works, a little demo video. That's on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You can see exactly what happens. But basically, when you hold the thing in your hand like a normal person would, and they're saying you have to be left-handed. I was holding it with my left hand, and it was going away. So I don't know if that means if right-handed people hold it in their left hand or left-handed people hold it in their right. I don't know, whatever it is. The bottom line is, holding it like you'd normally hold a phone, you can sit there and watch the signal strength drop, and go to basically to no bars.
That's crazy.
It's like, I mean, AT&T doesn't need any help.
yeah.
With reduction in strength, right? There you have it. And then when you put it back, you know, you put it back on the platform or whatever and just stop holding it, of course, the bars come back up. Apple's official response?
You're holding it wrong.
You're holding it wrong. What? Are you kidding me?
And there's been YouTube videos circulating, making fun of that fact.
Oh,
and,
I'm
you
sure.
Know, with,
you,
with Jobs' keynote speech.
Are you supposed to put this on a table and just put your head down toward the table?
Put it on speakerphone.
No. Actually, this is what they want you to do. They want you to hold it with maybe two fingers up high, right? If you can imagine that, like that dainty thing.
Yeah.
Or if you want to really be clear, hold it by the glass, front and back.
But then you're hitting apps and, you know, a whole bunch of other buttons.
You're multitasking.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, suffice it to say, if you see people holding their phone in a crazy way as they're walking around, you know they've got an iPhone 4.
They're holding it like a martini. It's an iPhone 4.
All right, coming up after the break here, we're going to be talking to Jenny Weaver from Verizon to talk about, of course, what everybody wants to know. When's Verizon going to get the iPhone? But of course, we're going to talk about a whole lot more. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Come on back now. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the smartphone wars as they heat up here, with all of the latest announcements from all the major carriers and manufacturers, and it's getting difficult to figure out which phone you should buy. So we're going to focus today a little bit of energy on exactly what you should consider, or what you should go through to try to figure out which smartphone is for me. Joining us now in studio is Jenny Weaver from Verizon.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for being ahead. We're inviting you in today because you are going to help us understand what's going on with the Droid X launch, right? And why it is potentially something that somebody like Clayton, that's an iPhone fanatic, might actually become interested in something Verizon has. But before we do anything, it's the number one question. We've heard this, I don't know, how many times on our Facebook page, how many times we've been hounded on Twitter with people saying, ask Jenny, when is Verizon going to get the iPhone?
Oh, gosh, I've never heard that question
before.
That was the first time I've heard that.
Okay, but let's just get this one out of the way, okay? Because that's the number one question everybody wants, and then we'll move on to real stuff.
You know, I don't have any insight into future plans, but what I can tell you is that we have a lot on the market right now that is extremely competitive and better because it runs on the Verizon Wireless network. So
let me ask a hypothetical. I get a Droid X.
Mm-hmm.
6 months from now, a year from now, Verizon does get the iPhone. That's just completely hypothetical. Is there a way for me to migrate to that if I wanted to without, you know, like starting over again? Or,
you know what? We have great programs for our customers that encourage them to get into the latest devices, whatever the device is. In fact, with the launch of the Droid X, we're offering people who want to upgrade to another smartphone who are eligible this year, they can upgrade without any penalties. So
upgrade to the Droid X, you mean?
Yes, wow. Yes, or any other smartphone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If they're eligible for an upgrade this year. So it's great.
Okay, how about this? We're going to have Ryan act like he just walked into a Verizon store. Look at this Verizon commercial we're doing.
I know, thank you.
What's up
this
with
is,
that?
This is kind of strange.
It is. So Ryan, it says right here on the screen that you need help figuring out which smartphone to get.
Yes, definitely.
Tell us, first of all, what it is you're looking for from this device.
Durable. I'm a farmer here in Arizona, and I've been through about six smartphones. So
durable?
I'm trying to find the perfect one.
Hang on a second. We apparently did not give Jenny any ability to hear what's going on from the phone. There she is. Okay.
Okay, I can hear now.
All right. So Ryan's saying number one thing he's got to have is a durable phone. Now, you do want a quote-unquote smartphone, right?
Oh, yes.
Tell me what you want to be able to do with this handset so we really have an understanding of what's on your mind.
Email, internet, everything like that. Anything I can get on a smartphone.
Okay, so you want the full boat.
Yeah.
Okay. So Farmer Ryan wants to know, what do I have that basically will put up with a guy that's going to be a little hard on it? Would you say, Ryan, a little hard on this thing?
Definitely.
Well, first of all, we have accessories that people can buy to make sure that those are well protected. But really, all of our devices go through an extensive testing process before they're even released to the public. So we make sure that those are dropped.
But is there one in particular that's
no,
kind of looked
I,
at
I,
as?
I would say that it depends on what the function is, Ryan, that you're looking for. If you want a keyboard that you can, a QWERTY keyboard that you can touch, then I would go with the original Droid by Motorola. If you want a total touchscreen, the Droid Incredible or the Droid X.
Well, I have a question for you. When you're doing those tests, how far do you drop the phones?
You know, they go through a pretty extensive process.
Does she look like
testing
a lab rat to you?
I don't know.
Ryan, let me ask you, are you going to be in a fairly dusty environment on a regular basis?
Yes, all day.
So I would think things that didn't have as many switches, so something with a full keyboard where you actually have a tactile keyboard, I'm just going to assume that that's probably got more possibilities of failure than something that's a complete touchscreen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So I'd kind of go that route. Now, I don't think you have to really stretch too far to figure out from a network standpoint. Now, are you on the fringes of the city, or where are you near a metropolitan area where you can actually get good signal, or do you know?
I actually have Verizon. I'm out in Tonopah, and I have great service.
Okay. So you know from that standpoint that the Verizon network will help you there. What about, do you have any friends that have like iPhones or AT&T or anything out there?
A couple, yeah.
I was going to say, because that's the easiest way to figure out in your world. Talk to everybody you know that has different phones from different carriers to find out what they, you know, how they're experiencing the actual network quality, and especially for data circuits. See, one of the problems that AT&T has, on top of the fact that it uses different technology, that when you have a bunch of people all jump on the network with these really bandwidth hogs, these iPhones, it eats up a lot of bandwidth. So it's almost like having everybody turn their sprinklers on at the same time at night, and the water pressure all drops, and everybody goes, my toilet just barely flushes. and that's essentially one of the issues that's happening. So from that standpoint, if you're happy with the Verizon network, and it sounds like, is your contract up?
No, I got the BlackBerry Curve on my upgrade. And I'm just trying to figure out how I can change, but I don't have an upgrade yet, a new upgrade, actually. So
You just recently upgraded to the Curve?
Yeah.
Okay. So from the cream of the crop, the top end of each of the networks, Sprint's got that Evo 4G, which I don't imagine you're going to have 4G coverage out where you're at.
No.
And it is the biggest of the three that I'm aware of. And then, of course, the Droid X that'll be out on the 15th, right?
On the 15th,
first available.
Right.
And then the iPhone 4, which is the smallest of the three. From a durability standpoint, I don't know that any of them is going to be any more durable than any others. The other two handsets are fairly new, so it's really hard to say.
Yeah, I haven't dropped mine yet.
Well,
so.
Now the fact that there's a glass on the back side of it, I don't see
well,
that being
yeah,
a
those
idea.
Those glass covers, so what Jenny was talking about with the accessories, because you need something that's fairly durable, doesn't really matter which brand you get, I would absolutely make sure you get a very solid case or cover of some sort.
Maybe a plastic bag, too.
Well, you know, it looks kind of nerdy, but I tell you, one of the most efficient ways that I've been able to keep the phone from really getting destroyed is those little belt clip deals.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks kind of dorky, but I tell you, from a functionality standpoint, you're not shoving it in your pocket. You're not, you know, putting it in there with keys and coins and that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, keys always, can wreak havoc on,
yeah.
those, on those phones.
Because, you know, these beautiful screens and these beautiful glass surfaces, they're, you know, they're not going to be the most durable thing, and the bigger they get, they're going to have these big glass screens. And if you do drop that thing and it hits, you know, face down or something, I mean that's, you know, there's not a whole lot any of the manufacturers can do to help that situation. So you
all
know,
right.
you're going to have to really decide how elegant you want to go, because I have a feeling the more elegant you want to go, the more likely that you're going to have issues if you do drop it. So I would strongly recommend you look at accessories just as much as you do the phone.
All right.
So I don't know if that helps or not, but
definitely. Yeah,
yeah. Check with your Verizon rep, and anybody out there, if you're on any of the networks, check with them, because as soon as you tell, you know, AT&T you're thinking about going to Verizon, you know, their offers kind of step up, and the same
is
thing.
It like a bribe, or well, I mean, you get cash money, or what?
Well, the same thing. If you tell Verizon, hey, we're going to go across the street, they're going to go, well, let's see if we can keep you with us.
Especially
let's,
if you're on a corporate plan and you have 20, 50, 100
you know
lines,
what?
I'm sure they could get you a deal.
Even if you have one phone, I know they're all wanting to keep you there. So, Brian, good luck with that. You know what? Do us a favor.
Yeah.
When you do make your decision, call us back and tell us what you did and why you did it and share your experience. I think that's really helpful for everyone.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Happy farming and happy smartphone in there, Ryan. 602-277-5827. That's the phone number if you want to call in. You don't have to be a Verizon customer. You can call in and ask any kind of a question. I do want to talk about the Droid X.
Absolutely.
What is it that you believe is a standout feature? What is it that makes it worth considering for those that are considering an iPhone 4?
Well, first and foremost, it's on the Verizon Wireless Network. So that... is considerable.
Pulling that trump card out every time,
well,
huh?
You know, a device only works as well as the network that powers it. And in Arizona, we've invested nearly $1 billion in the last 10 years on our network. So that's to add new services, add coverage, and add capacity so that when you're using these smartphones, you do have a great great experience. So,
you're telling me if I'm driving on McDowell between 44th Street and Scottsdale Road, I'm not going to drop a call going through those mountains?
Well, you know, we do work very hard. We have our independent testers who drive the network. We also have our real-life test men and women who drive our network versus our competitors. So we want to make sure that where we can and when it's feasible that we're giving our customers really the very best experience.
Okay, but let's not sidetrack from the question.
Yes. All right, back to the Droid X.
Give me the Droid pitch here.
So I would say that it's what the iPhone doesn't, the Droid does. So it's 4.3-inch screen. So it'll be the largest screen for a smartphone that's available. An 8-megapixel camera. It'll have Adobe Flash shortly after launch.
Well, they're calling it Flash Lite, right?
Right.
Not quite. Full flash, but right, certainly better than the iPhone when it comes to no flash.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure. So when it launches, it won't be able to function.
Not at launch. Okay. Shortly thereafter.
So like 2 years after?
No.
We don't really know.
We're talking weeks.
Okay.
It'll have Swipe, the new texting technology preloaded.
Can you explain that?
Actually, that's one of our newsletter items as a discussion for later on in the show, but it's a cool technology. Go ahead and explain.
Sure. I think it's where you swipe your finger along and it predicts what you're going to text.
So if you look at a QWERTY keyboard that's on screen, mm-hmm. like the iPhone has, let's say if I wanted to type Clayton, I put my finger on the C and then drag it up to the L and then over to the A and then to the Y and then the T O O. Without lifting your finger, you're like tracing, right? And it figures out. Yeah, it figures out what you're trying to do.
Now I saw this. I saw this, and this is really cool. I saw it on one of the Windows based phones. It's an add on you can get. Really cool.
Yeah,
really
swipe, SWYPE. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Okay, what else?
Did I mention that it has a 3G Wi-Fi hotspot, a mobile hotspot? So
now that
customers, yes,
that one I like.
So with that, you can connect up to 5 Wi-Fi
devices.
All right.
Okay, we got to go to break here, but when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion about Droid. But we also want to explain to you the difference between GSM, CDMA, and what actually makes the Verizon network a little different than all the others. The Computer Corner, back right after this. We're discussing the latest in the smartphone wars here on the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house, as we are every Saturday afternoon from noon to 2. We thank you for joining us, whether you're joining us live or via the podcast or online or wherever you are. Thanks for chiming in there. We're talking to Jenny Weaver from Verizon about the upcoming Droid X phone. You're giving us some feedback on why people might want to consider it over the iPhone 4. We got Bob on the phone here. Apparently has a question about the upcoming Droid phone. Bob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You got Jenny from Verizon here. I can't think of a better resource for your question.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Jenny. Hey, I don't know if y'all covered it, probably not, but I just want to know when the new 2.2 is coming out for the Droid.
That is, with the 2.2 is going to be on the Droid X, and then we'll also upgrade our other Android operating system phones.
At the same time?
Shortly thereafter,
okay.
Yes.
So, and you're talking, for those of you that don't have this is the version of the operating system, right?
Correct.
And what are the differences between 2.1 and 2.2?
Absolutely more apps and things along that nature. It's just an enhancement to the operating system.
Bob, is there something in 2.2 that you're anxious to see?
Yeah, the hotspot.
That's
going to be really.
And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, a lot of these smartphones now, especially Android phones, it's very easy to turn them into what's called a personal hotspot. So as you're walking around with the proper access information, other devices you have. So those of you thinking about buying an iPad, having an iPhone and an iPad is actually not a good combination. Having an iPhone and an Android phone that actually has the ability to do hotspot, you won't have to spend the extra money for the 3G version of the iPad. Just get the Wi-Fi version, and then you can run off your Android cell phone, whatever you wanted, internet access.
So I'm not certain that the 2.2 upgrade for the phones that were released on different operating systems on the 2.0 or 2.1 will have that mobile hotspot.
It's not automatic. Just
I don't believe so.
The phone has to have the capability
Correct. Okay. And I know the Droid X does have that, Bob.
Bob, do you know for sure your phone has the capability of being a hotspot?
I'm pretty sure. I've done some research, and I'm pretty sure it does. But is there a specific date, or can you give me a range?
She doesn't have a specific. She's saying shortly after the launch, yeah.
You know, check on our website, too. There's some good information about that on our news center.
You know, Bob, I get the feeling that Jenny could tell us a lot more, but then she'd have to kill us all in the studio.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Have a great day and a great weekend.
All right, thanks for calling in, Bob. 602-277-5827 if you're... If you have an inquiring mind when it comes to smartphones, we're here for you. Okay, so a couple other things about the Droid that are different than the iPhone 4.
Well, one of them is it has an HD camcorder, so and also an HDMI so that you can play.
Well, actually, they both have the 720p HD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the iPhone 4, the 3GS did not. So,
right.
They're both going to have high def, but
that
HDMI connector is definitely
right.
Unique.
So you can... put the video out to your TV. It also has three microphones for audio recording when you take video. So that's great, too, because now you can really differentiate between the different voices and background noise and things
My understanding is that both the phones, the iPhone has two, the Droid X is going to have three. The idea behind the additional microphones, folks, is for noise cancellation. You hear about these crazy headphones from like Bose and these other places that basically are able to kind of reverse some of the sound so that it basically creates a more controlled environment. That's what they're doing now with these phones so that the audio quality is better for both recordings and also on the phone itself, right?
Yeah, it really should throw in 5.1 so that when you're recording concerts, you can
just surround sound.
Yeah, surround sound. Then you hook it up to
and
your
TV.
And
then it's got, two LED flashes instead of one.
Right.
iPhone 4 has one. It has two.
Right. Yeah.
Now, does it have a front-facing camera with video chat?
It doesn't. Oh. But it'll actually be able to shoot video and play that back. And then we also have Blockbuster On Demand, so you can download full-length movies and play that right back through.
Rent them through that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and in fairness, since you brought up the front-facing camera, the iPhone 4 does have a front-facing and rear-facing camera, and you can use the iPhone 4 for video conferencing right on the handset.
Yes, you can.
Disclaimer, as long as the other person has an iPhone 4 with a front-loaded camera.
And if you can't find a person that does have one, you can always call up Apple support and chat with a Apple support technician.
It's just like, Apple support, can I help you? No, just lonely.
This is really cool.
Just trying something out.
So, did I mention an 8-megapixel camera?
You did.
Okay.
Let's see, what's my timing here? My timing is not good. It is good. No, we got about a minute. Real quick.
Sure.
The actual technology Verizon uses for the cellular signal, what makes it better? How come I can get a signal in the condo across the street from my office with a Verizon phone, but I can't with the AT&T phone?
Well, we've chosen CDMA technology, and that's what we've engineered our network for. A lot of it is that it penetrates into buildings better as well. Much of it is how we've engineered our network, though, and the investment that we've put into it. And then we're moving into 4G LTE technology here very soon.
Coming up. Okay. You want to stick around, or do you have to get going?
Sure, I have
a cup. All right. Jenny's going to stick around if you have other questions for Jenny Weaver from Verizon. Go ahead. What are you waiting for? 602-277-5827. We got another hour to go. When we come back, we got Geek Speak of the Week. We're going to talk more about that swipe technology and a bunch of other goodies for you. It's the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house. Clayton, Robert, Ken, Ramsey, and even my wife, Anita, who's going to just kind of sit back and take notes today. Stay tuned for hour number two of the Computer Corner coming up.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
dope! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're focusing in on the smartphone war. We thank Jenny Weaver, who had to leave, unfortunately.
She offered a lot of interesting insight.
And you know what? we've got her card, and we're still in good terms, so we might be able to keep the information flow going there. But we'll continue to try to help anybody who's got a question on any of these smartphone issues. 602-277-5827. Nathan, Jim, Robert, please hold tight. We want to talk to you. But before we go on, it's time for Boogie Fever. Come on, folks. Get up out of your chairs. Shake it loose.
Okay, Rocky.
Shake that moneymaker. Get the blood flowing. It's time for the Geek Speak of the Week. It's the portion of the show that we bring you a component of the vernacular of the tech world so that you can either understand what somebody's trying to gee whiz you with or just sound really cool at a cocktail party. Robert?
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is handoff.
Handoff. So like in football, we know what the handoff is. What are we talking about in Geek Speak?
Well, in theory, because I think I'm always in the state of handoff on my phone, but when you're driving to L.A., you're going to get a handoff from one network tower to another network tower, so you'll drop calls as you're getting handed off from one area to the other.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
It's supposed to be seamless.
You're supposed to be – basically, when you're on a cellular network, the cell towers, you go from cell to cell, and typically what happens is cell A – as you're driving away from it and getting closer to cell B, will hand you off to cell B, and it's supposed to happen seamlessly, and most of the time it does, because you don't recognize that you're going from cell to cell as you're driving.
It's kind of like wireless hot potato.
Well, yeah, so on a network that's got a lot of traffic on it, if cell tower A is handing to cell tower B, and cell tower B is really loaded up with users, like there's like no more room to put another person on, guess what's going to happen to that handoff? Fumble! So when you hear somebody in the cell business talking about the handoff, or you hear somebody talking about the handoff in a cell environment, cellular environment.
And that's not referring to the handoff between the right and left hand when you're using the iPhone.
You know where else they're having a handoff problem? And that's Steve Jobs' handoff.
Yeah.
Don't use your left hand.
This is really starting to get bad. The AT&T solution for a lot of people that, like, you know, in our condo office, mm-hmm. you can't be downstairs while you're on the phone. If you go in through the garage and then try to go upstairs, you got to run really fast because
I've experienced that.
So their solution is something called a microcell. So you can buy this little device, this little mini microcell that goes in your house to increase the cellular signal.
And that connects to your Wi-Fi, correct?
It connects through Wi-Fi, or you can hardwire it. And then one of the pitches is that you could be on the microcell, get in your car and start to drive away, and it's going to hand it off to the cellular network. So you go from Wi-Fi to cellular seamlessly.
And I was at the AT&T store just a few days ago asking about, because now they're selling that product, you know, how well it works. Nobody really could give me a good answer on how well that handoff occurs.
If you look around the internet, you'll see people complaining about the fact that it's a one-way handoff.
So you can go out, or is it coming in?
You can leave.
You can leave, but you can't come into the house.
Apparently it doesn't allow it to switch back to the microcell coming in, and they're complaining about it not being a two-way handoff and that kind of thing. So
another minor design flaw.
If you're out there searching for information on cell phones and you start to see this discussion about handoff, now you'll have some sense of what that whole discussion's all about. By the way, here's a quick overview of the current smartphone market share percentages, quarter one of 2010. The leader in the smartphone space, I think most people don't realize this, in the smartphone world, the leader is RIM's BlackBerry.
You know, that was a surprise to me when I saw that chart.
35%. Apple's iPhone has a 28% market share. Microsoft's Windows Mobile platform is a 19% market share, and Android, as it's getting hoopla, is at 9%, so it's a fairly small. Now, the really interesting data about this graph is the quarter-over-quarter share increase and decrease.
Right.
RIM lost 2%, Apple gained 2%, Windows Mobile lost 2%, and Android gained 2%. So you can see the popular platforms are Android and Apple. They're increasing market share, and these other two that have been around a lot longer in this space are losing market share. And that kind of goes to Nathan's question about, hey, you've been on Windows Mobile for how long, Nathan?
About
about 3 years now.
So he's saying, wait a minute, you people talking like these features are all new. I've had this stuff on my Windows mobile device for years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So what's the big deal?
For sure, yeah. I was just wondering what real's going on with that. And he's like, the last caller, like you said, was just discussing about he can't wait till the Android 2.2 comes out because he can do the Wi-Fi hotspot from his cell phone. I've been doing that for a couple of years, and
yeah.
I get fantastic up and downloads. I'm reaching almost 1 megabyte on my cell phone.
And which network are you on?
I'm with Sprint.
You're Sprint, okay. So you and I had this conversation off the air. I mean, you know, the same thing. People are wondering. You know, the tablet PCs have been around for 10 years. Along comes this iPad, and a device that never could get anybody's attention in the consumer world is going nuts. But it's
yeah.
But it's a tablet computer. Why is that? And it really has to do with the user experience and then the connectivity to content. Okay, one of the things the Windows Mobile doesn't have is that it doesn't have the App Store kind of look and feel, right? All this stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't have, you don't actually have like an app store to go to, but if you go on the internet and search for Windows Mobile applications, you almost freeze up your computer because there's too many pages.
Okay, but look at the difference for the user, right? For
yeah.
early adopters and nerds and geeks searching around the internet looking for stuff, that's cool.
Yeah.
For somebody
yeah.
that doesn't want to have to do that, I mean, why did AOL have such a huge market share for so long? They were spoon-feeding people the internet,
yeah.
right? And then once the overall sophistication of the average user started to increase, that's when AOL's market share started to drop significantly because people got to the point where they were like, well, I don't need this one-way, you know, this spoon-feeding of the internet. I'll go find the stuff I want on my own. So we're kind of there right now with this technology.
Yeah.
And it's really the companies that are focusing on the user experience are the ones that are winning, clearly. Look at the data.
Well,
right?
I'd have to say that, you know, the Windows Mobile OS, I was using 6.5 back on my Motorola Q. I also had a Blackjack and, you know, really had a leg up on, you know, Apple and Android. Of course, Android didn't even exist at that time. But now things have changed just so dramatically. I'm looking forward to the... Windows 7 mobile device.
Now, and that's,
yeah, I heard about that.
Now, that is where Microsoft may start to regain market share. But, you know, look at BlackBerry. Rock solid corporate handheld device.
Yeah,
mobile device.
Corporate, I think, is key.
It's absolute boring as all get out, but it is solid, right?
That's true.
And
that's true, yeah.
So really, the user experience is what's really going on here. So anyone out there that's got a Windows mobile device that's maybe having iPhone envy or all this discussion going on, your next tranche that may actually put you back in the game is the Windows 7 Phone OS, which
yeah.
is getting very good reviews. You know, but let's face it, Microsoft always has that stigma that it's got to overcome when it comes to these things and you know, these newer, cooler gadgets and Android and Google and Apple. And, you know, these are hot commodities right now. And, you know, it's let's face it, it's like high school, right? It's very, very fickle. But hang in there and, you know, keep us posted on any updates that you have in your world and, you know, bring that stuff to the show for us.
Sure will.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.
I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Another caller called, said, you know, both the iPhone 4 and the Evo have front-facing cameras. How come Droid X doesn't have it? Of course, Jenny's not in the research. She's not in the development side, so I don't know. But seems like that was maybe a strategic error as well. It's the Computer Corner. When we come back, we're going to talk more about smartphones and whatever it is you want to talk about, 602-277-5827. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. If you're a newsletter subscriber, you got our newsletter last night with what I think is one of our better tips in a long time. You ever been to a YouTube video that's really cool, but it's like 5 minutes long?
Yeah.
And the part that you really want to show somebody else is like 3 minutes in. You know, 2 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yeah.
This week's tip tells you how to create a link. So you take the YouTube link, copy it into your text message or email or whatever, and then append it with #T equals, and then put the like O2 for minutes. So O2M.
So automatically start right at that point.
Basically, whoever clicks on that link it will go to that point in the video and load it and start playing from there.
So it'll start buffering from that point.
That's pretty cool. How to get to the good part, how to send a link to the good part of a YouTube video.
If you don't get this newsletter, what are you doing?
I don't know what they're doing. Actually, if you don't get the newsletter, datadoctors.com/radio, you can see where you can either sign up for it, or if you don't actually want to get it in your inbox but you want to see it, we post the archives. The last 10 editions are up there. In addition to that tip, there's a tip for those of you running Windows 7. You know, that taskbar is beautiful and all, but Windows 7 in its default doesn't really tell you what's going on down there. You just see these icons. So, like, you can see an icon for Internet Explorer, and you don't know if that represents a shortcut to launch the program or if it's got Windows open.
Yeah.
Right? So you can change the display properties of your taskbar, which is our head whack of the week, so you can actually see what's running. And it won't bunch them together until you've got so many that it's running out of space. So it's just more like Windows Vista and Windows XP as far as the taskbar goes. So
cool.
Lots of great stuff in there, including the Geek Speak of the Week. Those of you that are Facebook users, please be aware that the like button that you're starting to see pop up all over the place.
Pretty much everywhere.
There are a handful of like jacking spam scams out there.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so because people are starting to get used to clicking on something that looks like a like button.
So this isn't clickjacking, this is like jacking.
This is like
jacking.
There's a double geek speak, huh?
Yeah.
So the information about the latest scams and exactly what they're saying and what they're doing, and you could run into something in somebody's Facebook stream, or it could show up on your news feed, mm-hmm. that is a like jacking scam, and so you want to be aware of that if you're a Facebook user. That's in the newsletter. Also, there's a blogger that basically said, I'm done. I am not going to pay for cable anymore. I'm going to get all my television on the internet. And CNN has a nice little article that shows all the things that he did so he could tell the...
Cox or Quest?
No, it was somewhere back east, so it was probably Comcast or something.
Yeah.
Take this cable and, you know... You can have it any way you want. So.
I don't know. I see broadcast being dead. I really do.
Well, I mean, what's broadcast?
Yeah.
What's your definition
of broadcast?
You're thinking over the air.
This is something you've got to meet time for instead of it meeting time for you.
Well, I mean, the you decide when you want to consume content. I think that's pretty obvious. More and more people are getting to that point, which is why these smartphones are so darn useful, is because they can do so many of these things where you have in your hand the ability to gather the information in real time, live, during a broadcast, after a broadcast, whatever. But you don't have to be at that point in time to be able to access that content. And I think that's really one of the more powerful things that's really starting to change the way, you know, I was going to say
you can even use your smartphone to program your DVR. So, I mean, and that dual purpose there. And being able to watch shows back at home when you want.
I even almost see DVR not being... I mean, why own a copy or record it when you just on-demand watch it?
Well, you really,
except
again,
for live news and stuff.
Well, it really depends on the content. So the notion that any one of these things is going to be the all-knowing, all-consuming... See, we all grew up, especially me, being the oldest guy here, we all grew up in an area where there were these huge gatekeepers. There were big newspapers and big television networks and big... That's what's all being eroded. So now it's fragmented. The stuff's all over the place. Anybody can have a voice, and everybody's struggling with what the next, you know, level of communication and contact is going to be. Social media is coming into play. The mobile revolution. It's really disrupting everything that's going on out there.
And
so
I would say between, you know, RSS feeds and TweetDeck and Twitter and getting that news, you know, that I want and following the people that I think are interesting or that, you know, correspond with my interests. I don't go to any of the major sites because I find those links through there.
But that works for you. A lot of the people listening still like to have the physical newspaper, even though the news in there, from a pure technical standpoint, the news happened 6, 8, 10 hours ago.
Well, but I can understand that too. I mean, some people use the iPad for, you know, books. I prefer actually holding a physical book and be able, you know, highlight it and, you know, have that physical feeling to it. So
now, didn't we have, before we run into this next break, didn't we have a review from Ramsey on a product or something here?
Yeah, I think he was going to talk a little bit about iMovie.
You're going to talk? You don't have to have the headphones on. You can just talk. You got to get that mic up there. So what is iMovie?
iMovie is
Say it's an application for the iPhone 4, right?
Application for iPhone 4.
So you get on Dad's little iPhone there, and it's got iMovie. What happens?
You could, like, get a video you have done maybe, like, in a long time, and you can, like, maybe add a little music onto it. And
oh, so it's like you can, like, edit video right on the handset, right on the iPhone?
So it's like you can put music on the video at the same time.
Wow. And then you can export that and then save it onto your computer too, right?
Yeah.
And they make this easy, don't they? It looks mm-hmm. pretty easy.
Yeah.
When I saw you playing with it.
And it's the same iMovie. Basically.
Yeah, it's the same iMovie. I think it's, you know, $4.99 on the App Store, and you know it's so quick and fast and easy to use that, you know, it's a lot of fun.
By the way, while we're talking about apps, our app of the week this week is something called Layer, L-A-Y-A-R. It's a...
underground layer?
No. It is another tool that is starting to leverage this augmented reality that we've talked about, yeah. that my son is completely enamored with.
No, it's cool stuff, though.
It is... Augmented reality is basically these cell phones with the GPS capability, the cameras, and the mapping capability. You can actually hold your phone, iPhone, whatever up, and kind of point it in a direction. It'll have a browser, and so it's seeing...
Through the camera,
the buildings and what have you, and giving you an overlaying information about what is out there, like restaurants and streets. And
what really I find really cool about that is even seeing through the building. So if you're, you know, looking at a mall and you want to see what's in the food court, you know, you have icons of McDonald's or, you know, Taco Bell or what have you without actually even being in the building itself, which is just amazing.
It's like X-ray vision, huh?
It is.
And if you have an iPad, I posted this on our Facebook page and on my Twitter feed last week. If you have an iPad... Pulse.
Yes.
The Pulse Newsreader. It's one of the few apps that I'd say absolutely is worth buying. If you're talking about this new way of setting up your electronic newspaper like Clayton was talking about, Pulse is a phenomenal application. It only works on the iPad because you got to have that extra space. But you decide all the different sites that you want to kind of monitor, and they kind of scroll left to right. So you know how an iPhone, if you flip it, it goes, you know, you can kind of flip through the pictures one. So imagine like four or five of those layered on top of each other, and then you can move those layers up and down.
Basically, it gives you all the content right there. And
so, you're basically, you have an RSS feed to all of those sites that you like. So whatever your news sites are, all the different places that you like, anything, including, I don't know, our website. all the information we have, you could actually have that as one of the little streams across that you can just flip through all the stories. On a horizontal basis, it's really
that's
really,
pretty cool.
Like, but what's different, you know, from that, if, you know, in other RSS feeds, it, you know, has the pictures embedded in there. It's easy to open up. You can really kind of see the content before you dig down into it. Whereas it's not as static as some of the stuff I've seen in the past.
It is quite good. So, all that stuff is in the this week's newsletter, except for Pulse. That's just something we threw out there. Again, during the week and throughout the week, and pretty much around the clock, we've got Data Doctors. Participating in our Facebook page as kind of an outreach and ongoing discussion that we have here on the radio show. You don't have to wait for the two-hour block that we have every week at this time to chime in with a question or what have you. Facebook.com/datadoctors. Bookmark that. Become a fan. Say you like us, and then you can basically start asking questions throughout the week because y'all have them. I mean, we've been on the air for 15 years because there's so many people that have so many questions about technology. There was a caller earlier before the break that was asking the same thing that we were talking about with Jenny off the air about Verizon's 4G deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So Sprint's got their Evo 4G phone, but it actually does not work off the cellular network. It works off something called WiMAX.
Right. Yeah.
So they have to deploy a separate set of towers. And WiMAX is great technology. It's just that they're going to have to get those towers out there. In order for that to really be kind of cross-country. So.
I'm sure a huge investment on their part, and
it is.
It's going to take a long time to roll that out.
And let's face it, everybody's going to be rushing towards the 4G, which 4G is the fourth generation of cellular, so it's going to be a substantially faster, I think 4 to 6X, I think.
It's considerably faster than the 3G networks.
It's getting close to broadband,
right.
low broadband.
So the question is, when will Verizon... have their 4G network deploying, they're going to be probably one of the leaders on a national basis when it comes to 4G. Here in Phoenix, I don't know where in the deployment schedule that's going to be. I can't imagine it's going to be high up there, just because we're not in New York, we're not in San Francisco, Chicago,
Los
LA.
We don't have the volume of residents in that very compressed space.
I'm sure the installed base of their customers are going to determine a lot of that and their ability to put the stuff up and reach the largest number of people. But I'd say 4G as a reality across all the networks is probably another year away before we start to see anything really substantial for most of us.
And you're talking about the larger metropolitan areas too.
Yeah, unless you travel a lot, and that's, you know, those are all things you need to take into consideration as you're looking through and trying to figure out which handset do I want, which network do I want. There's so many features now that, you know what, take your time, do your homework, search the internet, ask people on Twitter. Somebody was earlier asking about trying to jailbreak an old 3G iPhone. Had very specific questions and very specific versions. And I suggested to him, look, why don't you just go on Twitter? First of all, you can search to see jailbreaking iPhone 3G and see who's having a conversation about that and actually jump into the conversation and say, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to do this, because in his case, he wanted to try to use this device on the T-Mobile network. And somebody on Twitter knows.
Yeah, and they're usually pretty helpful.
Well, again, the difference between Twitter and a Google search is you're actually having a conversation with somebody that's talking about that subject right now, not somebody that posted 6 or 8 months ago. Somebody that posted how to jailbreak an iPhone 3G 2 years ago, there was no – the version of the iTunes or the iPhone OS that this guy had didn't exist 2 years ago.
Exactly.
That information is completely useless now. You really need to have that up-to-the-minute information. And whenever that happens, folks, start using Twitter as a search engine. You would not believe how much quicker you can get to real information. It's another human being having that conversation. Search.twitter.com. And you don't have to be on Twitter. You can just search the conversations and get lots and lots of great information.
Or even Google social search, which I think goes through.
Yeah, it's getting better, but
it's not the best. But
this one's nice and easy. You're listening to the Computer Corner. We're talking smartphones and tech. 602-277-5827. We'll be back right after this. So if you've ever wondered what exactly makes a phone a smartphone, if you want to see what our advice is on the iPhone 4 versus the Droid X, you want to see video reviews of the HTC Evo 4G or the Droid X or the iPhone 4.
Where do they go, Ken?
You want to see PC Mag's top 100 free apps for your phone?
I was just browsing through that right now.
Or how about the best thing on there, our demo of the iPhone 4 reception issue. I actually took a little video yesterday when I was leaving the Channel 12 studios to show people exactly what was happening on that. So that's all available at datadoctors.com/radio. That and lots more about smartphones. Hey, while you're there, take our poll of the week. How often do you use the internet to research a major purchase?
100% of the time.
I think just about everybody, actually about half of the people said yeah.
There are some compulsive buyers out there, I'm sure.
There
that,
are.
Stay away from that.
Hey, real quick, when we get done here, we're going to head down to the Microsoft store and have some fun.
Lots of fun.
And I got Gary from the Microsoft store. You guys getting ready for us over there?
We are ready for you, Ken. We've got the Kinect going, and we've got a few games for you guys to try out. And we are waiting for you and all the listeners to come on down and experience the new Microsoft Kinect.
That's the basically you are the controller in the game. I can't even explain it, folks. We've got a link, or we've put some links up on our Facebook page. So we're going to go down there and check it out. And if they do go today or tomorrow, and they mention the fact that they're a listener to the Computer Corner, the Data Doctors, what's in it for them?
Well, what's in it for them, Ken, not only when they come down and do experience the Kinect, they will be entered into a raffle to receive a brand new Xbox 360S. And also, if they come down and they mention they heard it on Data Doctors, we will also put them into another raffle for a one-hour free Microsoft personal training session.
So you get to have a little bit of fun. It's the air conditioning is working in the store, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so it's nice and cool in there. You get in there and wave your arms around. And what's your favorite game so far, Gary?
I think it's Kinect Adventures. It is a river rafting game. You can play two people on that, and it is very exciting, very energetic, and I think it's probably one of the best ones out so far.
That's where you're in the raft, and you jump, and you move around, and what have you. It's
exactly,
the coolest
exactly.
thing ever. It's
it
just like
a lot of fun.
This Kinect system actually has these cameras that watches you, and you can see how they figure out the you know where your limbs are and where your head is and where your body. It's the coolest thing ever. So
it really is. It's amazing the technology that they have come up with in order to make this happen. It is just really, really awesome.
Now this new 360 is the new leaner, meaner, quieter machine, correct?
Absolutely. It is a lot slimmer design, and as opposed to the other Xbox 360, it is a lot quieter. And instead of having the hard drive mounted on the top of the unit, it is now incorporated actually into the unit itself.
Nice.
But the good news is you don't have to get the new Xbox 360 to be able to use the Kinect system.
Nope, just as long as you have an Xbox 360, okay. Even the arcade will work with the new Kinect. You are good to go, Ken.
All right.
I strongly encourage that when people do come down to the store, they can pre-order their Kinect right now. Only at $20, and that will hold it until it comes in sometime in November. And we also, you can pre-order some of our Kinect games for only $1 each.
Okay,
nice.
So you can get all that information when you get down there. If you're interested in looking at this, this is all going to be available for people to play with only through tomorrow, right?
Only through tomorrow, that's
so this,
correct.
So this was the hottest. Thanks, Gary. We'll see you in a little bit.
Thanks,
we're going to head down there
after the show.
You got it. This was all the buzz at E3. E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yep.
Like the place to go where you want to see all the latest technology when it comes to entertainment and video games. This was absolutely far and away the biggest
really
buzz.
Cool.
I didn't think we were going to be able to see it till November. So it's really cool that Microsoft's allowing people
this
to
far in advance.
Yeah, play with it now. So
well, that's where Sony failed. They did a Wii look-alike controller. Where this
yeah.
is totally revolutionary.
Fail. All right, listen. We appreciate everybody that participated and chimed in. Don't forget datadoctors.com/radio. That's to get all the links. Continue the discussion on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do. All the links to today's show. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clayton.
Always glad to be here, Ken.
And Ramsey.
Hi.
You made it happen, buddy. Thanks for chiming in. Join us every week as we talk technology from noon to 2. The entire show will be bottled up and made available through the podcast. All the information, again, at datadoctors.com/radio. Pete, thanks for making everything happen in here.
Oh, yeah.
Tokyo Express for feeding us. We're out. We'll see you all next week.